second one.
There's nobody online yet, so maybe I don't need to keep this computer on. 77A. Continuing on, a new topic. Chol Yisrael, I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah. Chol Yisrael Gai Lamar Asar. Why is a Chol Yisrael Gai Asar? One's going to present two reasons. First reason, Rabbi Yirmiyah's reason. This is the reason you're familiar with. Because maybe they mixed in some non-kosher animal's milk. We've seen on, and there's a brisa, I'm going to go to Chol Yisrael Gai there. Yisrael, I'm in Agabav. A guy can stand and milk his herd as long as a Jew is standing over him. You don't have to worry that he makes non-kosher milk. Now, number five, he says that the Gemara is, in Tosefta, says Yisrael Yoshev Besof Edro. Not that the Yisrael is standing on top of him, watching him, like, you know, hovering over him. But actually, the Yisrael is just sitting on a chair. And not sitting next to him either. He's sitting on the edge.
Comes in and out.
He's sitting on the edge of the Eder. But the fact is, if he would, and he's not even seeing the guy, but if he would stand up, he would see the guy. So the guy has a mirsus because of that, and therefore it's kosher. All right? So that's what we have for we'll call Chol Yisrael. Rabbi B'Shem Rabbi Yehuda, he says, Rabbi Simon B'Shem Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, a different reason completely. That the guy won't be makvid on leaving it exposed. Why won't he be makvid? Why isn't he worried about his life? So I think the Gemara says that the goyim, because they eat shkatzim and masim, they are not as affected by poisons as yidnar. That's what I recall. Do you remember that Gemara? Nobody remembers that Gemara?
It's not because he's selling. He's not milking it for himself. Isn't he a worker guy? He has a mind killing people, you're saying. No, he's working. So he has a mind killing people. No, but he's not drinking it himself.
Okay, everybody else. All right, whatever. Well, let's go on. So we have two reasons. Frank the Gemara, very interesting question. Viyamid. Now, the way the English writes it, it writes, the Gemara is asking us regarding the second view. So we'll come back and examine that line in the English in just a second. The Yamid, why would the milk that became uncovered be prohibited categorically? Why don't you just make it into cheese? And if it curdles up and makes cheese, then you know there's no poison in there, because poison apparently inhibits the enzymes. What's that?
What's the word vayamid mean there?
Yeah.
How do you translate the word vayamid? Is that the way you word it through the
mark? Yamid means put some rennet in there.
Oh, that's what it means.
Yeah, put some rennet in the milk, let it turn it into cheese, and then we know we don't have any poison, so why do you have to throw it out?
I think it's from Ahmad, to let it stay until it gels, congeals.
Oh, that could be. I don't know. I don't know.
Says the Marfu. The English text is an opposite as let it stand. Yeah.
Okay.
Let it stand. Yeah.
Lord.
Yeah. So we're asking the question only on the second reason. It's according to the English. Now basically that really doesn't make very much sense to me. Because if you're worried about presumably, non-kosher animal's milk also does not become cheese. So the same question could have been asked on that side
as
well.
We're
Yeah, but we just said two reasons. I'm just saying, the question, v'yamid, l'chora, could have been even on the first reason. L'chora. Okay. It's interesting. I think in number seven, he says that Rabbi Fulda points out that the Bavli addresses the question to the first view. So, you know, I think you can learn either way. My point, that the thing that I get out of this Gemara, which I think is very interesting, is that it's not the pshat that Chazal made a gzeira on milk that comes out of the Gayusha milk house that it is categorically usur, and once Chazal made that isur, it's like a gzeira, and that's nothing we can do about it. If there's a scientific way to figure out that it doesn't have geisha milk in there, for what, you know, or either it doesn't have treif milk, or doesn't have poison, whatever it is, it seems very clear that would be enough.
If it was a gzeira, this test wouldn't matter.
What wouldn't matter, exactly. If it would just stop a gzeira d'rabbanan. So that's
sponsored by Hershey's.
So that's why it always bothered me. Why, if I have an OUD on a bottle of milk, mm-hmm. which guarantees me, the OU guarantees me that there's no treif ingredients in this bottle of milk. So then why do I have to be makbid al Chol Yisrael then if it's a quarter of the price? This is, I've never been able to really resolve this to my satisfaction. But now that I read this Gemara, it's even more difficult. Because Gemara says explicitly that you just have to figure out that it's okay, and then you can eat it. It's not stomach zera. Because I was always told the answer is Ksam Seifer. They like to quote Ksam Seifer, who said that it's a gzera. It doesn't make sense. Okay, let's go on. I don't want to dwell on this. We could spend a whole hour on this. So the Gemara answers that although you're right, it won't curdle, so to speak, the poison, but you could have some poison that gets stuck in a pocket, in an air pocket inside the cheese, like you see. Okay. Shloisha arasne. There are three types of venom. There's eris shokeas, the one that sinks to the bottom. There's eris soft, one that floats on top. And then there's eris omid besvach of amalala, that it remains as a layer above the bottom, meaning it's in the middle. It's kind of like hangs in suspension. And the difference between these are the age of the snake. If it's an old snake, it floats. If it's a young snake, it sinks. If it's a middle-aged snake, it's in the middle. Okay.
Does it have the same level of poison?
It's poison and will kill you regardless. We're going to see that now. We actually won't see it so clearly. It's Gagin Aisid the Sidra Ruba. It was a barrel of water belonging to the great study hall became uncovered. Shasan Kadmain Velamusin, the first people who drank from it did not die. Acharoyin Umaisin, but the people that later drank from it, as the water level went down, obviously, they did die. And Yomer Eres Shokehaya, this was a sinking venom. So the people who had the, you know, the luck to drink from the top of the barrel, they escaped death. The workers in the field. This guy is closer to Mayas and the pitcher of water became exposed. Again, the first people drank did not die. Later people did die. On the Yomer, the same thing. That Erashokahayo, it was sinking venom. Tony Kane, Fathis, Shenizgal saw a barrel that became uncovered. Atiyak, Shenikar, if you have a melon that got bitten. Even if first people had drunk from it or ate from it and nothing happened, don't use that as a test and say, okay, it must be safe. No, nobody should go and try this, right? Later people should still not drink. And the Omer, Arashokahu, maybe the venom was sinking. Yanichan Skalf, wine became exposed. 10 people drank from it safely. Also, you still can't drink from it. And the Omer, Arashokahu, again. We're afraid that it sank to the bottom of the barrel. So you can't use previous performance is no guarantee for future. Okay, next. Shloisha Mashkin Asurin Mishum Gilu. The three Mashkin. So the Mishnah, our Mishnah said, Mayim, Cholav, and Yain, right? With the three Mashkin, which made it sound like no other Mashkin were involved. Now, the Bryce is now going to say a little interesting thing. The next price is going to say Chamisha Ein Bahem Mishum Gilui, that there are five Mashkin which don't have Gilui, which doesn't make sense because according to our Mishnah, no other Mashkin besides water, milk, and wine have Gilui. This price clearly argues on our Mishnah, because, and we're going to see in detail now. Hatsir Marmuyas or Hachemetz or Hashem Vadvash. So we got fish brine, Marmuyas. Murios, I think he gives the explanation that you're so fat he finished innards. Well, there's a whole directions here on 14 if you really want to make it. At home, you could follow those directions. Vinegar, oil, and honey. So if they're left uncovered, these five are permitted. Reb Shimon Oyser, he asers these five. Mayno Chacham L'Reb Shimon, Kishoro Oso No Karen. Of course, the Chachamim agree that if you see a snake actually poking its head into one of these five mashkin, that you have to be worried about it. It seems to me strange. I mean, whenever you see a snake sticking his head into anything, whatever. You know, I guess.
But don't think that it is a chemical reaction that doesn't allow the poison to affect
it. Right, that's exactly. Rav Chanina bar Papa Havi Abdain Sluchas Tzvash Magalia. So he had, Rav Chanina bar Papa had uncovered honey. Lo asmak mishal adefafas bidei. He didn't have time to even ask for the venom permeated the honey while it was still in his hand. So.
Honey is a problem.
So it's interesting. So if before, if you've noticed that we had Reb Shimon Oyser and we had Midvash in parentheses, but if you left the Midvash intact in the Gersah, then this would come out like Reb Shimon. But if you're not curious that Midvash, let's see, well, Midvash was in the list of the five, right? So it was at the end of the five, so it still works out, right? Reb Shimon Oyser. So he answers the five, and the last one of the five is Dvash. Okay, it still works. Either way, it works.
So is the point here that if the venom goes into the honey, it's going to spread, but it doesn't tell me it's going to be dangerous?
Yeah, it means it's dangerous. Yes.
So the reason we would think that it wouldn't be a problem with Chachila
is because
it wouldn't spread in it.
No, well, originally we thought that the nachash would not eat from it. Yeah. Okay, the Gemara talked about a carriage in a trunk, and he left an uncovered beverage in it, remember? Anyway, we keep coming back to that because it's annoying. So they like to bring back the stuff that's annoying. Rav Shmuel Trevayan Amrin, Nitner Rishus La'aretz Li'bakim Mipanav. The permission was given to the land to split before a snake, which means that this is the nature of the beast. Snakes, when they're crawling on the ground, they literally, if you've ever watched it, I've seen it myself, they disappear. They just
slither
into the ground.
Yourself.
I've seen snakes literally in front of my eyes almost disappear because they're very fast, first of all, and they find a crack in the ground that you can't see, and they just slither right in. Now, I've also, I'll tell you about a little more about my personal experience. No, this is right here in Baltimore. I've had a lot of trauma. A lot of trauma. Okay, so anyway, but it says that it's an interesting language. Nitna reshus la'aretz libakim panav. It means, I don't know why the language of reshus is exactly, but that's, I guess, the nature of the world. But a vessel doesn't split. So obviously, if you have a piece of luggage, the luggage isn't going to say, oh, here comes a snake. I'm going to open my mouth and let the snake in. I mean, I don't know what this even means, permission. It's just a funny way to speak. I don't know why Yerushalmi used this language. Rav Chiya Rabba, Rav Shimon Bar Abi, Havi Yosman, L'chan Bayis. So they're sitting in a certain house, and a zolu, marmorin, a certain room where it was completely covered in marble. It was a marble-covered room.
There was no place for the snake to sleep.
So, you know, it's pretty hard to get through, right? 17, it says, marble tiles went all over its inner surface. Okay. So, Amr, they said to each other, Asher the Humor Skami Hakha, could the snake be seen here? This Skami, and then indeed a snake was seen. And in other words, you wouldn't think that it could enter through marble, right? Amr, so they said, Baruch Hu Shabbach Bahen Machachamim. Blessed is he who chose the Chachamim, Shamu Nitner Shusla Artsi Bakamifanov, Lanit Rishus Lakli the Bakim in front of, but I guess the fact that the marble is like an extension of the ground or something.
What was the name of that, the Shamir, the Shamir?
Yeah. Okay. Rabbi Yannai have a mitchol minei sagin. Rabbi Yannai was very fearful of snakes. Have a yohiv arsei arba meration demayin. So what he did was he put his bed into four buckets of water, thinking that if any snake tries to come, it'll come up and take a drink of water and then go away. It won't climb up onto his bed and take a little bite of him. Anyway, ayin zayin on the base. Chadzman. So one time, Pashat Yadeh, he stretched out his hands while he's lying on the bed. But Ashrechei Gamei, he finds that there's a little snakey there. A little pet snake. Amar, Ariman Minei, take the balls away. There's no point in, right? No point in my taking precautionary measures not to be attacked by a snake. Shem Epsayim Hashem, I'll rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu watching over me. Enough with trying to, you know. Anyway, we all remember how this pasuk was being corrupted during COVID, unfortunately. Yeah. Kamahu Shir Nekev. I mean, this pasuk is used all the time. Remember Moshe Feinstein's tshuva in the early days, back in the in the 40s. No, about smoking. He said for smoking. And in the 40s, he said, Shomer Psalim Hashem. Right? Remember that tshuva? Yeah. Shomer Psalim Hashem. But then later on, they say he changed his mind. Anyway, the Gemara uses it, for instance, for birth control in certain cases. That there's a machlokes whether you can use birth control because it's dangerous for the woman to get him pregnant. And the Chachamim say you can't use the birth control. It might be dangerous. Shomer Psalim Hashem. So that they allow you to take certain dangerous moves based on this pasuk. Okay, that's another time. Kamahu Shir Nekev. Okay, what's the size of that hole? Right? It says, if there was a hole in the carriage trunk or closet, then it becomes usur if you left an uncovered flask of wine inside the trunk. So how big is that hole? So Rabbi Yaakov Achav Hashem Rav Chanina Machvivei, see, he demonstrated on himself. Hachin, Omar, this is what Rechonina said. Roish etzpoik tana, the tip of my little finger. So he was probably picking up his pinky and showing the tip. And if it's that big, then it's enough. If Yaakov Arachim Rav Shimon Rav Vav Shem Rav Shimon Levi, they said, Akadei Shalai Yitonis Roish etzpoik tana shal tinuk ven yomu l'tocho. It's big enough that the one-day-old baby's little finger could not enter it. So that's extremely small. Now, so the Gemara is assuming that the hole sizes given above represent the minimum diameter of a snake. So the Gemara says, I feel pockets contain hole all but a small snake could enter even a hole smaller than that, even just a crack, right? But they say any snake that does not know if it can exit the hole, lo alil, it won't enter the hole. Now here, in number 5, it says that land snakes do not move backwards. They only move forwards. So therefore, a snake knows if he's going to go into a hole, he's not going to be able to back out of the hole. So he wants to make sure he can turn around and come back out the hole. So therefore, if a snake wishes to reverse itself, it needs to turn around. Were a snake to enter a tube that is slightly wider than itself, that is closed at the far end, he would be stuck there. So they don't enter such tubes or any holes in which they feel they will not be able to turn around in time. This is very interesting. So what's the Gemara trying to say here? So
if the hole is so small that the snake can't see.
So is there a snake that's smaller than the tip of a one-day-old baby?
Yes. Was that something called a safsan yesterday?
Shifty foam.
So we don't know what the size of that, but we know it's very small.
Well, I'm just want to understand now at this point. What do we change our minds about the size of the hole? Okay, let's go on. Hadain Salta, the Gemara says, in regards to this basket, so obviously a basket has plenty of holes in it, right? Afilo cut in kama, even if the holes are much smaller, usser, it could go in one end, a hole and edge of the other. Hadah Salkusa, in regard to this elevated vessel that's suspended from a cord from the ceiling, Afilo duhutaya kama, even though it's very far above the floor, so you think that the snake can't get to it, but actually the snake can get to it. In other words, if I suspend an open bottle of wine by a rope from the ceiling, even though it's 10 feet up, and it doesn't matter, the snake will do what?
Climb the wall, go across the ceiling.
Exactly. That's exactly what it says. Asura to whom ishtal shel. The snake can climb the walls, cross the ceiling, and slither down the cord into the vessel.
Lovely.
A lot of snakes, you know.
I've heard that one.
Yeah. Anyway, then it says, Kadeshiyavah Harachash, it says that the shear, that's awesome. The Mishnah said, how much is the shear to leave it? So if I walk out of the room and leave it uncovered, how long is it? So it says, Kadeshiyavah Harachash Mimakum Karov Yishta. Ezer Makum Karov, what's considered a nearby place? I'm Shmuel, may I not come to the Fiha? From the English here adds a couple of words. From a hole in the ground underneath the handle of a barrel to its mouth. So whatever it is, it's not very far. Just long enough to come up from the hole and drink, but would the person not see the snake on its return to the hole? In other words, why is the shear just kadei shiyavo for it to get there? It should have been kadei shiyavo v'yachzor. Because that's really what you're worried about, right? So if I just left for 2 seconds, which is enough time for it to get to the hole, but when I come back in, I would have seen it returning, right? Retreating. Anino min katonhu. There's a tiny species. Ushrifon shamo. That's what you mentioned earlier. Vuhu dom lasar. It's like a little hair. So such a snake could not be seen easily if it were returning to its hole underneath the handle, because it's so small. Okay. Shemayim HaMagulin, how much is the amount of water, right? Tani Yamayim Karkos HaBarim Saw. So if it's in the ground, it has to be 40 saw, because that's enough to cool it down. Rav Nechemi Yom HaKadosh Tehachov HaShel Shreyotin Nesmala Mehen. A sailor's barrel could be filled with it. So what's that? 13? That's smaller than 40 saw. Okay. Hayayin. What about wine? Bein bekelu bein bekarkoi is koshuhu. Koshuhu here means no matter what the amount is, it is going to be usser. This difference between 40 saw or whatever it is, that's talking about mayim. But if it was yayin, it would be a problem. The Tesefta continues, Hayayin, wine, kosmatutosis, as long as it's fermenting, Eimbo Mishum Giloi. Because if it would have poison in it, it would stop the fermenting process. So if I see it's still fermenting, then I know that it has not been poisoned. Kamatosis, how long does it ferment? Ashlosh Yomim, 3 days. So that means after 3 days, right? So 15, it says, from the time it's extracted. In other words, after you step on the grapes, you know, extract the grape juice, you have 3 days. It produces bubbles, which frighten the snakes. That's one way to learn it. Okay, we'll learn that way. That's good enough. Shloshi Yomim. There was a story where they found a snake next to a wine vat while it was fermenting. And the story that they wanted to know, is that wine mutter or not? The hitter, and he was mutter it, because I think the language is
second.
Yeah, but in other words, do we see the he says in footnote 17 that The Chasdei David suggests the fermenting wine is different, even if we would see a snake drinking it. And even if we know that he had deposited venom within, the fermenting wine will still be fermented because it neutralizes the venom. But that does not seem to be the view of the Rambam or Rash Siri Leo. So there you have it. So if you see it drinking, it might be different. It might be a machlokes. So mine calls Machu Moshech. If you have a spring, as long as it's flowing, Eimah Mishum Gilei, you don't have to worry about the water because the water keeps flowing down. I'm gonna be what?
Disperses.
Yeah, disperses it. It's constantly moved downstream. I'm going to be Shmuel Ben Shem Yechim and Breikah. Meister showed Rabbi Yechim and Nur Yotzer Rabbi Yechim and Breikah. Abba, the Beis Sharai. Rabbi Yechim and Nur, he went down to Beis Sha'arim with my father, Rabbi Yechim and Breikah, the Heru Gavi. He showed him small pits of water. They only had three Lugin. The rain was dripping and falling into them continually. The Shochav Shasa, he bent down, he drank from it. Gomar, there's no problem because the rain is strong enough, and either it creates a significant amount of mud that the snakes don't like to slither through the mud, or because it's dripping and it's making noise, I guess. The Gemara says on Heichon, to what point is it considered strong enough? Rav Mani brought down from Shem Rokhidim, Achetei Tafuach Chavris. So the irrigation channels puff up with water, that means it's raining hard enough. Says over here that the references to the small irrigation channels that directed water for the crops in the field. So if it's enough to fill these irrigation ditches up, that's enough to discourage them. Okay. Rabbi Leazim, Rabbi Yossi, Shem Rav, Ad Kadeshi, Osu, Karagle, Avaz. So the channels become as deep as goose feet. Which he says here is the water in the channels goes too deep for the geese to walk through, forcing them to float to the surface. Okay, so they agree that it's good enough. Now, top of the next page on 78a, top two lines, on Rabbi Yaakov Baracha, Mikivin Shu Hutter Masha Vesode, Hutter Masha Vais. Once it's permitted because of the rain in the field, then in the house it's also permitted.
If the rain
is sufficient, I guess. Since people track mud inside when they enter from the outdoors, the snake is afraid to move around within the house as well. So the beverage left uncovered inside a house during a strong rain remains permitted. Okay? And a final teaching. Well, there's one more it says over here. Tony Rav Hashia, Hagiluyin, Ohagin, Megmarzman, Chutzlarach, Megmarzacham, Megmarzach Shaman, that these rules are applicable all over on any time of the year. Okay, we'll stop here.
Wonderful. That's all.
Next time.
Next
season,
we're
going to
have a
Bilchik on the Yisroels. I bought one steak. Next season.